I am the vine and you are the branches. Several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go up to the wine country. I haven't done it in ages. It was a wonderful sort of excursion. But we were visiting this winery that had most of its all on hills, and they had most of the winery actually inside the mountain in tunnels. Beautiful place. But I was showing us all the vines and all the work that they do. I know we know it intellectually, but I've forgotten how brutal the pruning process is. I mean, they have nothing on these branches except one or two branches. And I'm thinking, so how do you know which ones to cut? Oh, well, that's the skill of the pruner. Because, we get to know these, it's the same person who will prune this every single time. And he said, well, we'll know. And he showed me, picked up a dead one. He says, for example, here, see these nodules, that means that they're not going to produce much fruit. Now, those nodules, that's going to produce a lot of fruit. And really, you cut all those away, just, and it's just this. They got two or three, and that's the one. They're the ones who are going to produce all the fruit. And I thought to myself, wow. And I thought of this passage. I knew it was coming up. I thought to myself, ooh, I am the vine, your branch. The Lord, the Father, is the one who prunes what does not produce much fruit. And I'm like, wow, there's a lot of pruning that goes on. And the Lord knows every part of it and prunes that part away that will not produce fruit. But that does remain has to remain part of the branch, the vine. Of course, that makes obvious, right? Because the ones dead on the ground aren't going to produce anything, right? That's sort of obvious. But I'm thinking to myself, that vine now is producing all its energy into just those two or three branches. So there's all that focused concentration. You can see why it works so well. Because now there's all this concentrated growth in just these handful of branches. And then I thought to myself, how does that work in our lives? Because the Lord, obviously the people at this time knew vines and branches really well. We are a little bit distant from. These hands don't see much labor very often. But the point being is that the Lord assures us that he will prune that part that will not produce much fruit. But that doesn't feel very good. It gets rid of those things that doesn't produce stuff. It never feels good to be pruned in our life. But the reality is that's what needs to happen for us to produce much fruit and good quality fruit. So you can have a lot of fruit, but not good quality. That's what the vintner was explaining to us. What you want is quantity and quality. And the only way you get that is by pruning. So I was thinking, what would be a good example? Because when we're in the middle of being pruned, it doesn't feel like we're producing much fruit. It doesn't feel good. Now, that's whether, and we have to say, why is that the way it is? Well, it's the way all of life is. Just the way. And so whether it's something that happens to us or something that we do, the Lord is always working to make us produce fruit. So let me give you another metaphor, just to mix up metaphors for one sec. But I thought there's a beautiful quote, and let it sit with you for a second. I thought about this. I read this recently, and it's just sat with me. I looked out upon my window, and I saw the leaves and the flowers falling from my beautiful tree outside my window. And I lamented as I saw the barren branches appear. And I lamented the beautiful flowers and leaves I had. And then I noticed, as I looked through the tree with its barren branches, and saw the stunning mountains behind the tree that I had not seen. You see, oftentimes what is before us is what the only thing we grasp. And what the Lord is getting us to grow towards is something that is yet to come. That's the pruning process. Let me give you a personal example. About a year and a quarter ago, I hurt my knee, and I don't quite know what exactly happened, but whatever it was, I fell, and it ended up, I've been really serious serve circuses. I wasn't allowed to walk for 3 weeks. I lost a whole ton of weight because of muscle because of that, you know, the same recovery. I was so mad. Like, my Lord, what's wrong with you? Like, I'm trying to do your work. Now you're crippling me. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, this is how you treat your friends? No wonder you have so few. I know, I got upset. I know. But the Lord can take it. So as a result that I had to do all this physical therapy that I've been doing, and now fast forward a year and a half later, right, I have a whole nother routine. I now have, I mean, I would never have done any of this if it had not been for this accident of some sort. Because now I have a new routine that includes weights. That's what I'm meant to be doing. I was probably trying to do it for 10 years and never done it. Now I'm doing it. I was meant to do cycling on a bike. I hate the bike. Now I'm doing it. And I'm mixing that up with what I used to do, which is my hiking. So it's all varied now, which is what you're meant to do. I would never have done any of it. And now I'm stronger and better than I've ever been. I've lost 25 pounds of weight and put on 10 pounds of muscle. None of that would have possibly happened if I had not hurt my knee. The mountain behind the trees that we often do not see. Now the part that's important here is it just doesn't happen on its own. You've got to cooperate with God. You've got to cooperate and remain in Him. You see, that's the part that's a critical part of the scripture. And remaining in Him, what does that actually mean for us? It means we need to trust in God. Because there are some things that are difficult and they don't maybe always get better, but trusting Him, we become better inside because of it. Maybe physically we don't return to full health, but something inside of us has changed. And we become more focused on that which is better, and that is the Lord Himself. Now look, what does that mean for us in concrete terms? Well, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. We got to remain in Christ, first and foremost, in our prayer. We cannot have nourishment from God whom we don't talk to or listen to. It just is sort of an obvious thing, but we have to remain part of the branch. We have to remain, the branch has to remain part of the vine. First and foremost, we need to be faithful to our prayer, both personal prayer in our home and communal prayer coming to church. Why? Because you see, we need each other. The vine does not grow alone. We need each other. We're all on the same vine together, and we need each other to grow together. And that becomes the next part. There are times in our lives that it is crushing for us. And what is so important is that we too play a role in other people's lives. That it's together that we do this. The vine is, we're not just a single vine on our own. We are a vine all together, and we grow together and remain together. So what does that mean? Is sometimes it may not be that you're getting pruned, but somebody else is getting pruned, and you have to remind them and be a witness to them of God's love and God's trust in their life by your presence. And often that does not necessarily mean to have to do anything, but you have to be present. You have to be willing to be with them as they suffer, because oftentimes you cannot do anything with their suffering. There's nothing you can do, but we can be present to them and know that by our presence, we're giving them the assurance that their trust is well placed. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. That's a promise we take the whole way to the grave and beyond, into eternal life. I am the vine, you are the branches.